First Thessalonians chapter 3. We've been studying here in the first letter here to the church at Thessalonica. We brought out in the first part of the introduction of the book of Thessalonians that this was the model church. We dealt with chapter 2, and that dealt primarily with the model servant. And then this third chapter deals with the model brother. The model brother. Now we want to notice here in verse 1 of chapter 3, and we'll read the entire chapter. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer. We want you to notice there the brother, the minister, and the fellow laborer. In the gospel of Christ, to establish you and comfort you concerning your faith. Does that sound like a Billy Graham crusade? That no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you do know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. You see what Paul's primary concern was here? He mentions it three different times here concerning their faith. He was concerned whether they were continuing on in the faith, that they were encouraged in the faith, that they were growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. You know, a lot of people say that the Apostle Paul was an old grouch. You know, didn't have a whole lot of good things to say and everything, you know. But he was too stout and everything, you know. But he says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound. His concern was that they may increase and that they may abound in love one toward another. And so our love for one another ought to increase, not decrease. It ought to increase and it also ought to abound one toward another. And toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Now notice that concern concerning the holiness. It wasn't that they might impress somebody else, that they might please somebody else, but that their life might be a life of holiness that would honor and glorify the Lord. Why do you live the way you live? Why do you conduct your Christian life the way that you do? Is it to please somebody else? Or is it to please the Lord? Is it to honor and glorify the Lord? And He says, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. It doesn't matter what the preacher thinks. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. The way that I'm living and the way that I'm conducting my life, is it honoring and glorifying to the Lord Jesus Christ? That ought to be our main concern. And that's the reason you ought to live the way you live, talk the way you talk, dress the way you dress, and live the way you live, is because of the Lord. And you're doing it for Him. You're not doing it for the preacher. You're not doing it for man. You're not doing it for anybody else. You're doing it because you love the Lord. That's the reason you're living a holy and dedicated, consecrated Christian life for His honor and glory. Even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Now let's go back here to verse 1. He says, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you, to comfort you concerning your faith. And so we want to remember His love and His concern that He had for these people here in Thessalonica. He dealt a lot with that throughout the first and second chapter. He let us know the love and the concern that He had for these people here at Thessalonica. They were on His heart. They were in His mind continually. And remember that He, in the second chapter, He wanted to come unto them, but what happened? Satan hindered us. You remember? But He wanted to come unto them, but Satan hindered. And so He couldn't come, so He sent Timothy. He was left at Athens alone. He was left at Athens alone. He was left there by Himself. Now we've got to remember also that the Apostle Paul was human. He was human. The Apostle Paul got lonely also. Several times we read throughout his writings, he was left alone. He was locked up in jail several times. And so we need to remember that missionaries have feelings. Preachers have feelings. They have times of loneliness. They have times of discouragements, just like everybody else. And so Paul realized that this new church needed to be established in the faith. That they needed to be established in the faith. And I'm so thankful for Brother Harvey and how that he established Olmsted Baptist Church in the faith. And the other brethren that you've had as pastors. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice in verse 15. He says, "And I will verily gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved." So, here in this first verse, he was encouraging them, and he realized that he had some lonely moments. He had some discouraging moments. But in verse 2, he said, "And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." So Timothy was Paul's right-hand man. Timothy was privileged to travel with this great missionary, and to help him, in the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. On several occasions, Paul sent him to visit churches which they had established and take a letter to them, and then return with news of how that they were doing. Now, notice in 1 Corinthians, look at chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And let's notice verse 10 and 11. "Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren." And the Apostle Paul did that often. He sent Timothy a lot on different journeys like that. And then he would come and he would return to the Apostle Paul, and he would give the Apostle Paul a report of what was going on. And we did that when we went to Peru. We went over there to see how Brother Bergerman was doing. And then we came back and we reported to the church. I had a video of the trip. And I told him, I said, "Now you didn't send me over there just to be sending me over there, my wife and I." And so we recommended that we increase that support. We started receiving a third Sunday night offering for the work in Peru. We increased our monthly missionary giving from $50 to $500 to $800 a month after we reported to them the need there in Peru. We saw all of the works that Brother Bergerman was doing, and he usually has about three missions going at the same time. And up the Amazon River and in the jungle and in the mountains and in Tarapoto and just different places, and overseeing some younger preachers and some of their works that they're doing, and he stays busy just about 24 hours a day. And they thank the Lord for the work that he's doing there. But this is what Timothy was doing. He was going to investigate and see the work and see what was going on. And I believe that we need to be concerned and try to go every opportunity that we can, especially to the missionaries that we're supporting, and try to encourage them and try to see what's going on. There's a lot of preachers that's doing mission work, supposedly to be doing mission work, and not doing mission work at all. And so the work that I was referring to has been there for 3 years and never a sign even out in front of the house. And he's having services there in his own living room. And so on. I'm not going to hide anything from my church. I want the church to know what's going on. If you get an opportunity to go over there and visit on Thursday, you go over there and visit on Thursday night and see what's going on yourself. I believe that's our obligation as a church, as a supporting church, that we need to go and see what's going on. And I recommend that you brethren do that. I don't want you just to take my word. I want you to go and investigate it yourself. Go and look yourself and see firsthand what's going on there in that work. And I recommend that you do that. And so, in the book of Philippians, turn over here to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians, chapter 2. And let us notice verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you here at the church of Philippi, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally or sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of Him, that as a son with the Father, He has served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. So we see that the Apostle Paul used Timothy quite a bit. Now, we see here in the 20th verse here of this same chapter here in the book of Philippians, we see that Timothy was a loving leader. He said, therefore, I have no man like-minded who will naturally or sincerely care for your state. The Apostle Paul was not a hireling shepherd who abandoned the sheep when they were in danger. I've seen a lot of preachers do that. The Apostle Paul was not that way. He was concerned that they be established and that they be comforted in the faith. He was more concerned about them than to just tell them to join the church of their choice. He wanted them to be established in the truth. He wanted them to be stable. He wanted them to be fixed. He wanted them to be firm. He wanted them strengthened. He wanted them supported. And the word established means every one of those words. Stable. Firm. Strengthened. Fixed. He didn't want them tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. And He saw to it that they would not be swayed and tossed to and fro. He was very much concerned for the church here at Thessalonica, as much as He was concerning the church at Philippi and all the other churches that He had anything to do with. And so Timothy, we see, also wanted to be a blessing to him. He wanted to be an encouragement to him. Regardless of who we are or what we're doing in the work of the Lord, we sometime or another need encouragement. The brother over at Hopkinsville, he may need just a little bit of encouragement. Sometimes we jump the gun. And so we need to see whether he needs encouragement. We need to see what's going on there. And so, have you been a blessing to somebody just recently? Have you been an encouragement to somebody today? We need to be concerned for one another. We need to be concerned for the lost. We need to be concerned for our brothers and sisters in our church. We need to be concerned. Do you see here how much Paul was concerned? Just in these first few verses that we've been teaching on tonight. How much love that he had. How much concern that he had for the Lord's people and concern that he had for the truth and that they be established, that they be rooted and grounded in the truth. Now notice verse 3 of our reading in Thessalonians. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. We need to also remember that the trials and the testings that come to our lives as Christians are not accidents. They are not accidents. They are appointments. Y'all see that here? And these trials and these afflictions should not move us from the Lord. They should not move us. Now, notice also in the book of Philippians. Again here. Philippians chapter 1. Notice verse 29. For unto you it is given. Unto you it is given. Just like that grace is given. Just like that faith is given. Just like anything else is given from the Lord. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. That's given on the behalf of Christ. So these things that come into our life are appointments. They don't come by accident. God has a reason and a purpose for everything that comes into our life. And all the blessings that comes from that, when we recognize that and realize that our great sovereign God is behind everything that He permits to come in our life. And it will strengthen you. He wants the best for us. And it'll strengthen us. And so, in 1 Peter, I'd like for you to turn back here also. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let us notice verse 12. Beloved, I like that word, beloved. Tell me, that word tells me He loved me a long time ago. Then beloved. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, though some strange thing happened unto you. Don't think it's a strange thing. This is an appointment. This is something that God has in your life to mature you, to strengthen you, in the Lord and in the faith. Now, we must expect to suffer for His sake. Now, notice here in 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. And that means that we're to trace His steps. In the Greek, that's what it means. We're to trace His steps. We're going to follow in His steps. As He suffered, as He endured it, we endure it. The very same way He did. Now, notice 2 Timothy. Notice 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. Now notice. Yea, and all that will live godly. He did not say all Christians. He did not say everybody that is saved. He simply said, all that will live godly. All that will live godly. All that will live godly. In Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I believe that's one of the reasons we don't live any more godly than what we do. If we are simply afraid of persecution, we don't want to be made fun of. I admire people when I see them living godly, acting godly, dressing godly, talking godly. I admire that. I was pastoring in the western part of the state several years ago. There was some people there in the community that called themselves holiness. Sort of a Pentecostal type of people. But everywhere you saw them, I admired the way they conducted themselves, the way that they lived. They were wrong on a lot of doctrine, I feel, but they wasn't on that one. They wasn't on dedication and holiness and sanctification. They were right down the line. And I admired that. And you do the same thing. I'm sure you do. You look at that person and you say, I wonder where they go to church. I wonder where they go to church. They're a Christian. Then you watch them. And you say it again. And you just start rejoicing. I wonder if they're a Baptist. Well, I don't know. I doubt it. They're probably Pentecostal. But that's the way we ought to be living. We have the truth. And so, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So troubles are going to come. So don't be surprised when those troubles come. You know, Satan cannot cause us to lose our salvation. But he can cause us to lose our lives. He wants to discourage us so that we no longer serve the Lord. And this is exactly
what the Apostle Paul had in mind when he was talking here to the church at Thessalonica. And he wanted to be encouragement to them. He wanted to lift them up. He wanted them to be strengthened. He wanted them to be strong in the Lord. And he wanted them to be aware of the trials and the tribulations that come their way. So we see that Satan tries to bring all kinds of problems and troubles into our lives, into our homes, into our churches, to interfere with our serving the Lord. Now, how far wrong am I? And that's what he was trying to do here with these church members here at Thessalonica. He thought if they would get down because of afflictions and because of trials and persecution and so on, that he would have them right where he would want them. But we need to be aware of that. Satan tries to cause all kinds of problems and troubles in our lives and in our homes. And in our churches, to discourage us from continuing in the faith. And Paul was trying to be an encouragement and a blessing to the church at Thessalonica. So when those persecutions come, when those trials come, don't be moved. Stand fast. Don't be shaken. Don't be disturbed. Because affliction should not move us from serving the Lord. Now, in verse 4, he says, "For verily, when we were with you, we told you." Preachers, you know, a lot of times they say, I told you so. I mean, they want to say that, but they don't. But Paul did here, you know, he said, "We told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know." And you know. And so we see here that Timothy was faithful to tell him about tribulation. Timothy was a faithful man of God. In Acts chapter 14, 22, Acts chapter 14, 22. He says, "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God." So we need to realize that trouble is good for us. Trouble is good for us. The Lord permits it in our lives that we may learn things about ourselves and the Lord that we could not know any other way. When Paul was with them, he taught them concerning this, and it had come to pass as he told them that it would. It came to pass exactly the way that Paul told them that it would. How many times have you heard your pastor preach? And he'd preach a message and you would sit there and you would listen to it and you would say, "Man, this is for me. Boy, the Lord really let me have it this morning." How many times have you done that?
Be there and not think much about it at all.
And you'll leave there and not think much about it at all. But later on, something would happen. And the preacher would remind you again. As if to say, I told you so. But he was a great blessing to the people here at Thessalonica. And may God grant us the grace as members of Olmsted Baptist Church that we'll be a blessing to one another. We'll be an encouragement to one another. And as your pastor, I want to be an encouragement to you. I want to be a blessing to you. I want you to be strengthened. I want you to be established in the faith. I want you to be warned about the tribulations and the trials and those things that come your way. And it seems as though we've just been bombarded with them here in the past 3 months that I've been here, just pastor, that it just seemed like there's just one thing after another in our families. All of our families seems as though they have been affected. And so may God continue to bless us. And I'm thankful for all of you. I've watched you. I've gone to hospitals and gone on visitation and say, well, brother so-and-so just left or sister so-and-so just left. And go to visit somebody at their house and they'll say, well, brother Fred stopped by this afternoon. And you know, that's a blessing. To know, you know, just to know that somebody else cares. You know, sometimes that's all we need. You know, I mean, it just makes our day. Somebody calls you on the phone. It makes your day, doesn't it? Say, well, they're concerned. They're concerned. If they weren't concerned, they wouldn't call. If they weren't concerned, they wouldn't be stopping by. If they weren't concerned, they wouldn't be going to the hospital. I don't go to the hospital because I have to, because I'm your pastor. Don't ever think that, not one moment. When I call you, I'm not calling you just because you think I have to call you. I'm doing that because I love you. And I'm concerned about you. And I want to see you strengthened. And I want to see you growing in grace and in knowledge of the Lord. And if these things will help, praise the Lord. And may God grant all of us the grace to be able to do that. That's not just the pastor's responsibility. That's the responsibility of every one of us. We're to love one another and care for one another, encourage one another, be a blessing to one another. I just preached on those one another's. But that's the way we ought to. That's the way it ought to be. You're here tonight. Maybe the Lord saved your soul. I don't know. The last week or two, or last month or two, or a year ago, or whatever. You've never let anybody know about that. Not a better time to do it than right now. Especially when the Spirit of God's dealing with you. Working on your heart. Trusting. That's salvation.
Amen.
Just simply trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And when you do that, the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.